This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You are listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana, together with Noel and Chuang. Now, though, whether the worst is over for hotel owners and operators. The reopening of Langkawi for domestic tourism is a ray of hope for hospitality players that the sector could resume business sooner rather than later. But some pandemic scars are permanent, as seen by the many hotels that have been forced to close over the past year.
As owners and operators were unable to sustain cash flow amid the economic squeeze, Malaysian Association of Hotels Chief Executive Yap Lip Seng estimated recently that roughly 120 hotels have closed, some permanently and some others temporarily. And of course, looking ahead as more states enter Phase 2 and Phase 3 of the National Recovery Plan, demand for hotel services appears to be on the uptick.
But how optimistic should hotel players be? Is the worst over, or could this just be a blip in a still bleak horizon? For a view on the outlook for the hospitality property market, we speak this morning to James Buckley, Executive Director for Capital Markets at Knight Frank Malaysia. Good morning, James. Thanks for speaking to us today. Can we get a picture from you? How has the hospitality property sector fared so far this year, especially given the fact that we've spent the bulk of the year under lockdown?
So good morning, everybody. Thanks for inviting Knight Frank to join you this morning. The hotel industry has really been the most impacted compared to other property sectors. Not only have our international borders been shut to foreign tourists, but the strict interstate travel ban has also hugely impacted domestic tourism. So, you know, we've seen occupancy really plummet. From the start of this year, occupancy was around 20%. It dropped further still in February to about 17%. It improved a bit in March and April to around 27%, driven by quarantine needs. Then it fell back in May. And I think, you know, since the strict lockdown in June, it's actually been even worse still. And the mid to upper luxury hotels have been most severely impacted. They've seen a minimum 50% drop in their average room rates. I mean, they've lost all of the international markets, and it's these tourists that typically have the greatest spending power.
In your estimate, are owners looking to sell their hotels, or they are still mainly waiting and seeing?
I think you know, there's a common misconception in the market that there's going to be a lot of distressed hotel owners, and we're going to see lots of distressed sales. But prime hotels, traditionally are acquired by long-term investors, and they actually rarely change hands. And because they've been in ownership for a very long time. They're typically, they're not highly leveraged assets. And so they can, to a certain extent, they can weather this storm. Of course, there are going to be exceptions to this. But, Knight Frank, we've definitely seen a noticeable increase in the number of owners approaching us and wanting to list their hotels. We're talking to owners of some very prime hotel assets, both in Kuala Lumpur, as well as resorts across Malaysia. This is a window of opportunity, I think, for hotel investors to acquire some prime five-star internationally branded hotels that actually rarely come to market. Over the last decade, there have only been 10 hotel transactions above 200 million. So that you can just see from that how rare that these prime hotel assets really trade.
Well, James, because it's a global pandemic, right? It's obviously a global beauty contest for selling owners as well. Where does Kuala Lumpur and Langkawi sit on the ASEAN spectrum in terms of appeal as a tourist destination for potential buyers?
Langkawi is sort of on the spectrum with countries like with resorts like Phuket, Bali, the Maldives. I think it's in terms of cost of staying there for tourists, it seemed to be a lot more competitive. In terms of where are investors wanting to invest their capital, I think there's been a lot of capital that's been raised globally in 2020. We're seeing a lot of this capital has been raised by private equity groups. They want to invest into hospitality assets. A good example of this is Blackstone, and they've actually invested a huge amount, over 17 billion US dollars in the first quarter of this year alone into hospitality real estate. I think these kind of groups, together with the ultra high net worth investors who traditionally like this sector, are going to be the ones that will be buying in this space over the next 12 to 24 months. And some of that capital is going to end up into hotels in Malaysia, in resorts like Langkawi.
So how does that translate in terms of prices, James? I mean, you've been speaking in nebulous terms until now. How does Langkawi translate in terms of prices versus the Maldives or Phuket, for example?
Well, I don't cover the Maldives or Phuket, but I mean, what I can say is that, I think up to now, there have actually been quite a limited number of hotel transactions during this pandemic. I think, Malaysian owners of hotels, they're not all Malaysian, they can be foreign owners, but they need to be, really more realistic about their price expectations, especially if you want to attract, the global investors that have very deep pockets for this hospitality real estate. I mean, they're not just looking at Malaysia in isolation, they're looking at developed markets like Sydney, Melbourne, London, cities in Europe, and some of the secondary cities also, like Manchester and Birmingham. And some of the owners here are still expecting to get 4 to 5% net yields. And if you compare that with what you can get, say, for example, for a hotel in the UK, in Manchester, you could get a Hilton branded hotel for 6.5%. I think vendors here will need to be more realistic if they want to genuinely sell their hotels here.
Going forward, how might the development and use of hotels change to help owners hedge their risk better, as we have to live with COVID as an endemic, for example? Would they change the use of hotels, maybe create more service apartments?
We haven't seen a huge amount of change of use from hotels to others. I think, there are some that are considering changing to longer stay alternatives. So, for example, offering service apartments or thinking about co-living. I mean, the market, we face a lot of oversupply in the office sector as well. So it's not like you convert offices into hotels or vice versa. So that's how I would respond to that.
Is there an inertia to change because it's expensive to change, or are hotel owners hindered by property regulations?
I think it is expensive to change. Of course, there's always the regulations, but to change a hotel into another asset class is actually quite difficult. To change an office building or a retail mall into a different sort of sector, I mean, you could change an office into a hotel reasonably easily, or you could change an office into an education institution or into those sort of sectors, healthcare, for example. But to change a hotel into a completely different sector would be difficult. You could, I suppose, consider changing a hotel into residential, but I think that is involving a change of use, and that would be considered to be quite difficult and time-consuming.
All right then, James. So looking ahead to October, when the government tables Budget 2022, what would be on your wish list?
I think we should be doing more to encourage, to boost the property market. I think, an obvious way to do that would be giving a stamp duty holiday, and we've seen that in other markets. Stamp duty is a really easy tax to avoid paying. You just don't move house, or you don't move property, and we want to encourage more people to move. The more people that move, the better it is for the wider economy. You generate a lot of economic activity, the whole moving process. And typically when you do move, you need to spend money on improving the property. You buy furniture, the lighting, kitchens, you do renovations, and all of that trickles down into the economy. So I think if we could give like a 12-month stamp duty holiday, I think that would really benefit not just the residential sector, but, I think we should look at it also for the commercial sector.
All right. James, thank you so much. We have run out of time, but thank you for weighing in with your comments. That was James Buckley, Executive Director for Capital Markets at Knight Frank Malaysia, talking to us about the state of play for the hotel property sector, as well as his wish list for Budget 2022. You know, maybe put a moratorium on stamp duty for a bit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, not wanting to be too facetious, but he does sound a little bit like Hugh Grant from Four Weddings and a Funeral. That being said, though, just in terms of the transactions on Langkawi, I mean, just vendors need to be aware that it's a seller's market. No, sorry, it's a buyer's market, right? And obviously, there's all that luggage that comes along with that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how optimistic I am about the hospitality industry when we are told that, you know, COVID's going to be around for a long, long time. We've got to live with it as an endemic. And yeah, I'm just wondering, you know, what are the little steps that owners can take to, you know, at least maintain some or at least break even.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.